Good
Good
Will you make you do me
Thank you. Today is April 22,
very good after
City
National King Shop.
Council meeting number 7.
I came over like to go to charge it in
We're a bit late starting because we had a public hearing before we begin. Let's have a moment of silence.
Vietnamic.
Thank you.
Chai yak tu ko an ri dia la.
Our interpreters are Antu Diala and Li Chia Hetu. Thank you for coming this evening to help out.
Man ang yak tarti ki yak yang
There's no swearing in.
yak wa katima jutik sabot aking
Adoption of agenda. There's
Levan
an amendment 11A
yak
is removed.
Aku
And following this
akhirnya saya
agenda, it has to be
mau
approved, moved by Councillor Natak, seconded by Deputy
meridu
Mayor Smith. Questions or comments to the motion? I don't see any. Those in favor?
ready.
All in favor? And minutes.
The
Public hearing number 2, minutes dated April 8, 2025. Someone has to move it. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilley. Questions, comments? I see none. Those in favor, all in favor, thank you. And again, City Council meeting minutes. Number 6, dated April 8, 2025, moved by Councillor Tilley, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Comments or questions to the motion? None. Those in favor? All in favor? So, if there's declaration of interest, please indicate. I see none. Delegates, none. Awards and recognitions, none. Item number 5, statements, council statements. Councillor Natak.
Tiki sema di liutana. Atau kaya kalau sema aku mana dokter.
Oh, when the bishop was here at the time, I had to repeat what I did at the time. The pope that was here, and because he had passed on, and when he was invited to Iqaluit, I had to wear this, so I'm wearing what I'm wearing. I'm just indicating that. And also, next month, I'll be leaving to Hamilton. There will be, I think, no meeting scheduled for that time from May 4 to the 11th. I will be going down for that healing circle that will be happening there. I just wanted to indicate that. Thank you, Councillor Natak.
Thank you for your presentations this evening. Much, much appreciated. I also want to mention what a great 2025 tunic time that we had. I see a lot of raccoon faces in the room, including myself. Also, congratulations to the hockey teams that came and competed this past week in the Brian Tord Memorial, and also to the Kimmel races that took place a couple of weeks ago. And I hope everyone had an incredible tunic time. And it looked like there was a lot of fun activities that was happening around town. I want to quickly highlight a few of the activities that I took part in, organized the Kamuksak races. We had our first ever six-dog obstacle race, which was incredibly exciting and chaotic, but fun. And we had our top three winners, the first place being Yova and Alika while she was carrying her baby in her amautik, and second place, Andrew Mayer and Alexi Cameron, third place, Paul Crowley and Katie Inuki. And then our kids race that took place in first place was Miguan Scale. She's 13 years old. Second place was Hunter and Willow. Our youngest racer was 3 years old. And in third place was Isla Mayer. It was so cute to see the three-year-old racing. And our full dog team race that took place on Sunday, our 35-kilometer race that went down to the Boy Scout cabin, which is 17 kilometers down the bay and back. In first place was Paul Crowley, second place, Andrew Card, and third place, Alexi Cameron. I was really grateful to see a big crowd and a lot of people taking part and cheering on our Kamuksak deed, our dog team practitioners, those taking part in the community events, and seeing such a great turnout in our community. And I hope that we continue to have an incredibly sunny, warm spring. And yep, matna.
Gwen Mick.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Awa, and thank you to all the residents of Happy Valley and my neighbors who are here this evening to speak. Democracy is a beautiful thing, and we'll, see some in action here this evening. And with that in mind, I just wanted to remind Nkolumiut that there is a federal election coming up on Monday. So if you haven't taken the time to vote in the advance polls, please make sure that you go out and vote on Monday to make sure that your voice is heard. There's a lot of issues facing our country, our community, and a lot of interest and eyes on the North right now. So please ensure that you go out and make sure that your voice is heard. So, Kanamit.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Anybody else? Any other councillor statement? So moving ahead on our agenda. Item number 7, bylaws.
To switch my language to English.
Seven A. First reading of bylaw. Bylaw number 1015, land acquisition bylaw for lot and 1 and 2 block 217, plan 3317. Need a motion. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Telly. We have no questions on the first reading. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. First reading, bylaw number 1016. Land disposal bylaw for lot 1 and 2, block 217, plan 3317. Need a motion, seconder, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilly. There's no question, comments on first reading. All in favor? None accepted. Unanimous, thank you. Now they're going to 7B1. Second reading, bylaw number 1015, land acquisition bylaw for lot 1 and 2, block 217, plan 3317. Need a motion. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilly. Questions and comments? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous. 7B2, bylaw number 1016, land disposal bylaw for lot 1 and 2, block 217, plan 3317. Need a motion. Moved by Councillor Tilly, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Comments and questions? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Second reading bylaw
Number 1011, Amendment to Zoning Bylaw Number 899. Councillor Deputy Mayor Smith.
I'll move this just for the sake of comment on it, just to bring it to the floor. I'll move it just to be able to comment on it.
Sorry, Mamena. Make a motion, seconded by Councillor Tilly. Any comments, any question? Councillor Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Awa, and once again, thank you everybody who came out and spoke here this evening. As you know, I don't want to sound like a NIMBY, but I also do live in Happy Valley as well, though you wouldn't see this one from my house in particular. I have been very, and I am remain very pro-development in my time on council. But I do think, as many of our residents raised this evening, that development has its place and densification has its place. I think that these low density neighborhoods are very important to our community. And we need to think about neighborhoods when we're proposing housing. Yes, we're in a housing crisis, but just building housing for the sake of housing doesn't take neighborhoods into consideration. Densification of the core, absolutely. And I think, you know, over time, we will see some densification happen in Happy Valley with NHC. I'm certain that it'll happen in some areas, but I don't think that this is the way for us to move forward. To Paul Clough's statement on this, kind of sends a message to two different developers that they can just, you know, purchase a low density lot, tear it down and build something medium or high density with, you know, blanket approval from us for the sake of housing, is going to price people out of single family homes. And it's not certainly the goal of what I would like to see and the direction that I'd like to see us take. Well, I do think that enshrining the snowmobile trail in this is important, and I would like to see that still happen. I am opposed to putting a sixplex on that property. So, can't admit.
Thank
you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Nutter.
What are you doing, mate?
Thank you.
David, you mean?
We always want to see this many people to come and speak at public hearings, and I've never seen this many people come and speak before us, and I'm going to say something that is not new. In 1962, the Iqaluit, where we're living now on the same land, it used to only have really dark, ugly houses. And when we're considering development, and suddenly a big sixplex pops up next to single family homes is not good. And we should look more at the road towards Apex to do developments like that. There's some real good spots there that they could build big buildings. And the proposed Heritage Center is going to be somewhere over there. We first selected the lock up in another direction, but I think it's going to be on the road to Apex now. And those of us who live up where we live, and there are only single floor homes near where we live, but there's a one two-story house. And our house is just full of smaller houses, and there's no big, huge buildings. There are some bigger houses, like homes, but no multiplexes. So I agree with what was said earlier. I'm a long-time Iqaluit resident too, and I've been coming here since 1962. And there's been some times in between where I wasn't here, but I actually moved here in 1988 permanently. And when I retired, I used to work, I applied for housing with the public housing, but they wouldn't let me have one. So I had to buy my own home and got housing that way. And I had to pay for the construction of it. And if anybody wants to buy it, they'll have to talk to me. It's not expensive. I call it not expensive because it's just a little over 100,000. 5,000. This would be expensive in the old days, but that would be a cheap number now. So I'm sure we will discuss this proposed bylaw amendment. And there are no units across from where we live. And I'm sure council will discuss this again before the night's over. And we've heard from the public, which is better, is we have to choose which decision to make. Although we saw members of the public, we didn't see any Inuit come here to talk, and that's okay. And when we make a call to the public and nobody comes, it makes you wonder, but then we have to keep on going. And we make our own decisions when nobody comes to speak at public meetings. So it was really good to see that many residents come here to speak. And yeah, we have to worry about things that will be on the way, like snow. And there will be kids and people wanting to be outside around the houses. We never used to go sliding, but everybody seems to go sliding these days. And we know the Arctic is very different from other places. And sometimes we get snow, and sometimes we get a lot of snow, and sometimes we get not enough snow. When this winter, we haven't had much snow. So and there were two elders that always used the there were two elders that were always using that trail, and there was an idea to shut off that trail, but the two elders won at that time, and they were able to keep the trail open, because dog team travel started way before we were born. And that trail is still there, because we didn't want that trail to be taken away. And the people who came here to speak said basically the same thing. They don't want to see a sudden development of a big building. And there are other places where bigger units can be built. But the Happy Valley, just like my neighborhood, it's for single family homes. And they don't make much money out of those places. But we'll have to discuss this again. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Nata. Anybody else wish to speak? Thank you. That's it for comments. Councillor Tilly. Thank you, Mayal.
I'm never shy about opening up about that we need housing. I am pro housing. I've always said I was pro housing, but I'm also pro neighborhood. And when this comes to a motion, my motion will be to deny going forward with this amendment, because I would like to see Happy Valley, Happy Valley. Thank you.
Thank
you. Anybody else?
Okay.
All those in favor of the motion? Not in favor? The motion is defeated. Thank you. Now, there's no third reading of bylaws to do, and there's no old business, and now we're down to new business. 9A. Fire Chief's report. So Tagak is the interim fire chief. So Tagak will be doing the report. The floor is yours, Mr. Tagak.
Thank you for having me here. Forgive me if I'm a little rougher on the edges. This is the first time I've had to speak at a council meeting and asked to present a report on fire department business. Just to get straight into it, since January up until the end of March, the department has responded to about 508 in-town medical emergencies, as well as 313 requests for medevac transport. This averages out to about 9 calls per day. We responded to 3 structure fires, 2 of which were total losses. 1 was only a partial loss. The fire department currently employs 21 firefighters and EMRs and 12 volunteers. During the year, we do have technical training planned. I've entered into talks with instructors to come up to teach pump operations, aerial operations, as well as self-contained breathing apparatus technical training. This way we can become more sufficient in maintaining our own equipment. And this is just in addition to the daily training that our department members participate in every day to keep their skills sharp, keep their skills fresh, or to relearn skills that they don't use through most of the year. As we get closer to the summer months, we do have a lot of, we have warm weather coming in now, and we're going to be, or I'm going to be encouraging my members to spend more time outdoors, practicing skills that are going to be a little more seasonal. A lot of people like to spend time out on the land, out of Sylvia Grinnell, fishing, going on the Apex walking trail. Accidents do happen, and we need to be better prepared for it. These don't normally happen through the winter, although they can, but in the summertime, it does happen more often. This is the seasonal training that will be that I'll be encouraging with my guys. One of the things that I did kind of put forward is I had one of our veteran captains moved into a position so that he can work with 3 platoons and make sure that training is standard right across the board. That way, each platoon is pretty much doing the same thing that A shift is doing, and all training and experience is going to be standardized, especially with respect to initial fire suppression activities. Some of the other things that I've been working on, this has actually been a very busy 2 months for me. There has been a lot happening. Some of the things that I am working on are the standard operating guidelines, as well as procedures, and kind of catch some of the gaps that we've had in the last 15 years. Some things need to be updated. Some things just need to be fixed altogether. So those are some of my plans for the meantime. It's actually been taking up a lot of my days, which makes me sad sometimes because I'm not on the floor anymore. But I'm also happy to be doing the work that I am now. I feel like this is something that I may have been working towards for the last 18 years and just didn't know about it until this year. One of the things that I think that's been a big help to the department, to our response times, and to our people on the floor was raising the shift minimum from 3 to 4. Now we're at a point where our call volume has really increased, calling for the need for 2 ambulances to be available 24 hours of the day. And that requires more staff. So with that increase, our staff don't feel as fatigued as they used to be. They're refreshed. They're happy to come into work. And so far, all the feedback that I've been getting from my officers, my firefighters, my dispatch staff has all been positive. And I'm hoping that I can keep this momentum up and, you know, bring things to a brighter future, right? My idea, my plan has always been to do at least a little bit better today than I did yesterday. And I think my staff really see that.
Thank you.
Sounds like your name is Solomon, right?
Yeah.
Just Saul.
I'll go by Saul. I'll go by Simon.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Deputy Mayor Smith.
Thank you, Mayor Olwen. Thanks, Saul, for you know, stepping up to the plate and being here this evening. You know, I've heard some great things so far. I got a question on, we have got a lot of full-time staff, which is excellent. I've got a question on volunteer positions. It says 12 on your report. How many would be like the ideal amount? Like, are we looking to increase volunteer firefighters in town? And if we are, how are we, what are some of your ideas for doing so, I guess? Thank you.
We're going to make Joanna Smith. So,
thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith.
It's nice to have. They're a great addition to the full-time staff. Recruiting volunteers is something that that I believe that we can work on. A specific number is hard to determine. For the current space that we occupy, the number of volunteers that we have is determined by the amount of space that we have. And I believe on the volunteer side of the fire hall, we have space for about 15 racks. So as long as those 15 are there, that's how many we can have. Right? With smaller spaces, we'll have smaller numbers. With larger spaces, we can have larger numbers. But this will include, we're developing plans to recruit locally, whether young, whether transient, people who want to give back to this community, or people who've been here for a long time. And I'm hoping that there's going to be more interest. And when it comes to recruitments, it's determined by the number of volunteers. If we've already got a large number of volunteers, it is hard to run a recruitment because we do get a big showing. A lot of people do want to come out and they do want to help out where they can. And unfortunately, sometimes we just don't have the space for all the volunteers that want to join, which one day I hope will change. But for the time being, I'm happy to work with what I have.
Want to make sure, any follow-up?
Thank you, so.
Yeah.
Councilor Natak, yes, thank you.
In order to Yuma.
As an individual, I also was a firefighter and I was numbered as number 2 as a firefighter. those that caught fire by gas or wood, and there's different ways to use equipment to shut the fire. And for example, airplane. If an airplane was caught on fire, I was also able to have that authority and make sure homes are safe. So that people will have safe places to be in. So my question here, I really appreciate all the firefighters in Iqaluit and also those who I would train with. I don't think they are on. Maybe they have passed on, therefore I haven't seen anyone of them. And I myself have retired from firefighting for a number of years, but I remember how things used to work as a firefighter or those people that were in the fire chief. Because there's many airplanes that come to Iqaluit or I know that there are some sprinklers and or anything to shut down. Do you have the same authority also to be able to work when an airplane is on fire? Thank you, Councillor Nakaslo.
Thank you for your service, by the way. We do have some authorities to work on the airport side. However, they do have their own fire department and their own equipment as well as trucks. When they do request for us to attend and provide services, we answer their call every time. And it's the same agreement that we have with them. If we do need their help somewhere in town, which we haven't in a long time, they always answer our call.
Thank you, Saul. Did he answer your question? Any other questions? Thank you for presenting. And on our agenda, on 9B, so our presenter will be Peter Tumulty, presenter of 2024 audited financial statements. Peter.
Good evening. Thank you for letting me zoom in tonight. I hope that everyone can hear me clearly. Tonight,
yeah, we can hear you.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. So tonight I'm going to present the 2024 draft financial statements hot off the press. And to start with, so in your package, you'll note that the first couple of pages are the independent auditor's report. So this is where the auditors outline everything that they've done and what they found. And thankfully, the auditors have provided us with yet another clean opinion with no reservations. They have stated basically that the statements are materially in good shape across the board and that we are in compliance with the CTV Act with respect to keeping good books and records. So we've met all of our statutory requirements with respect to our financial statements. Moving forward, I'd like to draw your attention to page 6. So this is the consolidated financial statement of financial position. It's also called a balance sheet. And what I'm going to present is I will present the balance sheet, the income statement, the cash flow, and the fund balances for the four major funds under the city's operation. To just give you a sense, first of all, we're quite pleased with the results that we've received this year with respect to our financial statements. The financial health of the city has improved from the previous year. Our liquidity and cash balance are very strong. We're managing our long-term debt, we're paying it down. There's been no issues there. And we're delivering on major capital investments and projects. So with the consolidated statement of financial position, draw your attention to our financial assets. So the first section, our cash and cash equivalents, as you can see, it's at $73 million. That's a pretty large increase. It's up almost $24 million from the previous year. Now, this is mostly due to some smaller investment in tangible capital assets, which are $23 million lower than the previous year, which led to an improved cash flow. So we've certainly improved our cash flow. We've seen that reflected in our cash balances. We've also seen a reduction, large reduction in our accounts receivable. So you notice the last year in 2023, it was about 28.8 million, and now it's about 20 million. So we've done some major collections there. And so our total financial assets have gone from 80 million up to 96 million. And this is good. This is a good news kind of situation. Our liabilities, on the other hand, have also gone up. They've gone up from a total of about 70 million to 78 million, primarily due, and you can see the increase in the accounts payable and the accrued liabilities. That's that very first line. That's gone up by 6 million. Now, most of that is due to contractor holdbacks for capital projects. So once those projects are completed and signed off, those will get paid out. And so that's where the primary driver is for that. We also saw a slight increase in the asset retirement obligations from 17 million to 18 million due to the inclusion of some asbestos remediation and an extra fuel tank. And so that was a slight change there. And then you'll note that the long-term debt has reduced from 22 to 20 million per the schedule and will be continued. And this is primarily for the aquatic center. So our net financial assets, and this is the key figure from this statement, the net financial assets is a measure of what the city owns and what the city owes. So our assets minus our liabilities. And so we've seen it increase from 9.8 million from last year to 18 million. This is a very good direction it's supposed to go. And it definitely means that we don't have to use current revenue to pay for previous services. So this means that we are basically funding everything as we move forward. Then our non-financial assets, we see a large increase in our tangible capital assets of about 30 million. So we're continuing to add on to our capital assets through the capital plan. And as we have mentioned in the past, we have been trying to sort of manage what we are doing through the capital plan and trying to sort of scale it back and live within our means. So we're seeing some positive activities and results coming from the direction that the city's been moving in the last year and a half, 2 years. And we're seeing some very positive metrics showing up on the financial statements. So that being said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move over to the next statement, page 7. This is the consolidated statement of operations, known as the income statement. So overall, as you can see, that our total revenues compared to last year are down about 3.5 million. And but that is we have to take into consideration that last year we included in revenue and in the expenses a transfer of the CMHC housing Jimmy Court to the Improved Housing Corporation. So that was a recognition of an extra $11 million in the revenue and the expense side as we cleaned it off our books. So the community funding on Schedule 15, as you can see in 2023, was like 14 million, now it's down to 4. So we take the 11 million out, our revenues are actually up year over year by about 7.5 million. And that's primarily due to the higher water and sewer revenue and some additional funding that we received for the Inuit Child First Initiative. So, looking at the expenses, they've also increased by a similar amount. We've seen our expenses increase by roughly about 10 million once we take into consideration the CMHC housing transfer. And this is basically reflected through the general fund. There's an additional couple of million dollars in overall expenditures, which are spread across several departments. We also have an increase in 5.6 million in the water and sewer fund due to increased allocations from other funds to represent the true cost of service. So what this means is what we have done is we've had expenses in other departments, and we've said, well, some of this reflects activities in the water and sewer fund. It's road clearing, it's other administrative costs and other repair maintenance costs and things like that to keep the equipment and everything in play. So we have increased the transfer of those expenses from their home departments to the water and sewer fund to reflect what it really costs us to deliver those services. And as you remember, when we did the presentation to increase the rates, we had included those extra costs and those allocations in when we had set the new rates. So we're seeing that reflected in the statements now with a higher amount of expenses there. We've also seen an increase in sanitation for those costs, mostly due to some decommissioning costs for the West 40 landfill. And an increase in salary expense for the lands department. So those that pretty much explains where we see the additional 10 million in expenses. When we compare to budgets, our revenues have exceeded the budget that we had originally by about $10.5 million. Now that's because we had. When we passed the budget back in October, or sorry, back in February, I think of 2024, we hadn't raised the sewer rates yet, so they weren't necessarily included. But we did. We are, well above the budget on that part. And while our expenses are about 6 million higher than we had originally budgeted for, overall our surplus, our excess of revenues over expenses, is $6 million compared to a budgeted amount of about 1.7. So, we've improved our revenues more than we've increased our expenses, and shown that we've had a bit of an increase in our bottom line. So, with respect to that, we're doing fairly well on our income statement as well. Obviously, there's always opportunities for us to, better budget and manage our activities, and we are, of course. Moving in that direction. I'll pause for a second, and I will then direct your attention to page 9. And page 9 is the consolidated statement of cash flow. So this shows how and why our cash balances went from 49 million in the previous year to 73 million this year. So, I mean, we start off with our excess revenues of about 38 million. So the 6 million that I pointed out on the previous page, plus about 32 million in capital transfers, means we had a total surplus of 38 million. We add a few things to it to get to 49, so depreciation and other non-cash items. And then, we list all the things that we use cash for. So we used 66 million for operations. Now, here's the thing that's a big plus for the cash flow. The tangible assets purchased and used for cash flow capital transactions dropped from 40, 73 million to 40. So that improved our cash flow, as you can see, by virtually the amount that our cash balances went up, like roughly 23 million. Then there's some financing activities that we're repaying our long-term debt on schedule, and that's great. And then we have a decrease or an increase in cash. So this is a huge shift from where the city was. So in 2023, we had a negative cash flow of 7.5, almost 7.6 million. This year, we have a positive cash flow of 23, almost 24 million. So that's a net change of a net positive change in our cash flow of $31.5 million. And I think that's pretty great. The next couple of pages reflect the notes to the financial statements. It outlines in more detail some of the accounts that are on those three statements. I will point out that we did have a restatement. We had a prior period adjustment of roughly around $900,000 to our tax receivable. So what that means is that the federal government, we bill them for property taxes on federal properties, and they can decide to pay the full amount that we invoice them, or they can pay another amount that they wish to pay. That's a payment in lieu of taxes, the program that they run. And so they have every right to, not pay what we say they should, but pay what they can afford or what they want to. And in previous years, and this goes back a long time and over several different years, where we have billed them a certain amount and they have paid less. But we did not change the amount of revenue that we were claiming for those years to reflect the fact that we were never going to collect that money from them because, we just have no way to enforce it. They don't have to pay it, and so they didn't, and they paid what they did pay. And so we had these amounts in our receivables that would never, ever, ever be collected. So this year, with the assistance of the auditors, went through and identified what those amounts were, and then just basically made them go away. We did a prior period adjustment, so we removed them from the receivable, and we also reduced the accumulated surplus to reflect that those amounts should never have been included in revenue and should never flow to the bottom line. So that is why you'll note on the 2023 column why it says restated, and that's in note number two. The final points that I will bring up will be looking at the different schedules. The important ones are the general operating fund, the water and sewer fund, the sanitation fund, and the land fund. So those are the four major funds. The general fund covers most of the city departments and operating costs. So that is located on page 27. It's schedule two. And we run most of our revenues. A lot of our revenues come through there. For property taxes and things like that. So we saw a bit of an increase in our revenue over budget, not by a lot, but by about 1.5 million. As I'd mentioned, it's down about 11 million from the previous year, but that reflects the transfer of the CMHC house. So in effect, our revenues are pretty much on target for where we want them to be. Our expenses, again, we're at about 33.6 million. So the general fund had a surplus of roughly 7.3 million on its own. And then with government transfers related to capital, excess revenues was about 22 million. We move to Schedule 3 and the water and sewer fund. You'll note that the 2024 revenue figures are very different from what our budget was. And again, the budget was set before we had changed the water and sewer rates. So, and they're obviously going to be way different from the previous year. So the residential rates are down because the rates were cut in half. Commercial is around about the same. It has ticked up a bit. And again, that's because we implemented the rate sort of 3/4 of the year in. So there won't be a full bump up, and we did only increase the residential or the commercial rates by, I think it went from 2 to 3.75, so not quite a 50% increase. So that will be reflected more in the 2025 statements. And then the government and industrial rates, obviously, they were quadrupled. They went from 2 cents to 8 cents. And so those rates do reflect a larger portion of that change. And we'll see that. And then it'll be higher in the coming year. So revenues are way up on this. And this is by design. Our expenses are also way up on this. Now, our regular operating expenses, about 9.8, a little bit higher than in previous years and a little bit higher than budgeted, but very close. And then the transfers from other departments. So you'll notice that there's, we had budgeted for about $1 million in transfers, but now we are moving, $5.5 to almost $6 million into it to show and to cost out the actual cost of providing these services. So the total actual expenses of about $20 million compared to $14 million in the previous year. And again, this is due to doing higher allocations into this area. We still have an excess of revenue of about 832,000, so it seems to be a little bit balanced this year. We did have some government transfers, about $4 million, and that gives us a surplus excess revenue in this fund of about 4.7, almost 4.8 million. Next year, we'll see even more revenue flowing through this fund, and this fund is going to be in a position to pay for itself and also pay for the long-term renewal of vehicles and equipment to support the truck, the water, and sewer deliveries. Quickly moving on to Schedule 4, which is the next page on page 29. Again, sanitation. So we haven't changed or reviewed the rates for the sanitation department. Revenues are pretty much in line with previous years, so that seems to be fairly stable. Expenses, you'll notice there's a big difference in what we see in expenses because of some adjustments to the provision for the closure, post-closure of the solid waste landfill, and the decommissioning of the landfill. So while we always have decommissioning costs every year, as we get closer and closer to finally decommissioning it, we're expensing it and getting it ready. We did have a big adjustment in the previous year when we had implemented the asset retirement obligation. So we had a big $5 million credit that had showed up here and then was put on the balance sheet. And so the comparatives from year over year is, kind of out of whack because of that $5 million difference. And we are seeing a little bit of a higher increase into here through allocations. And so our expenses for year over year are really not that comparable. We do see that we have, 9.4 million. And so we do have a bit of a deficit in this fund, based on its own servicings. But then with government transfers laying the capital, so we do have a positive balance of about 10.6 million. And then the final fund of the four is the land development fund. We do have a slightly lower revenue from the previous year, mostly due to equity land lease revenue. But as we start developing new subdivisions, I mean, this will pick up a bit. And so we do have total revenues of around 2.5 million, a little bit less than what we had expected when we budgeted it. And a little bit less from the previous year, but not significant, not too terrible. And then our expenses are also, way under budget by almost $650,000, a little bit higher than the previous year. But again, because we saw an increase in salaries and benefits, because that department is actually staffing up, and I think you met a couple of them tonight. So there are new planners that are working with Director Dodds in that department. So in total, that fund also has a positive excess revenue, about 826,000. So to summarize, and thank you for your patience with this. The city is. Its financial situation has improved year over year. The cash flow, the ability of the city to pay into their reserves. So we'll be coming up with transfers into that. The surpluses that we've seen in each of the the funds, and the net fiscal assets. That is a big improvement, and that is a key metric for measuring the financial health of the city. Things are going in the right direction, and hopefully we'll be able to, as we continue to make improvements and make changes to the way the city operates, that we'll continue to see our financial health improve year over year. And I'd like to finally just take a moment and say, to thank everyone in the finance department and all the other directors who have helped with the audit and from managing and maintaining their financial information and systems, but mostly for my team, Tracy and Christine and all Peter and everyone else who every day works in the finance department to make sure that we're providing the best services to the citizens and maintaining and managing our finances. So I thank you for that, and I a shout out to all of them, and congratulations to Tracy and to Christine, who moved into senior positions in the department. That we're going to see some great things happening over the next couple of years with that as well. So bottom line, things are going in the right direction. Things are looking well. The city is in a much better financial position than we were. We still have a lot of work to do, but we feel like it's moving in the correct direction. So with that, I'd like to wrap that up. I appreciate you allowing me to drone on for a bit, and I'm open to any comments or questions. Thank you.
Peter?
Thank you, Peter. Are there any questions or comments? There are none. We need a motion to accept the report that was just presented, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilley. Any comments or questions on the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Motion carried. Thank you, Peter.
My enemy.
Right now, item number 10 on our agenda, Planning and Development Committee of the Whole Meeting number 3 report from April 15, 2025. Deputy Mayor Smith.
The Planning and Development report for meeting number 3 on April 15th. We have item PD 25-11. I will move as per the report.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Tilley.
Nakomei Mayor Awa, I apologize for oversight on my part. I have to abstain from voting on this particular item as it is my employer.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. Do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Nata. My apologies, I misunderstood. We only have 3 members here, and we can't pass any motions. We will have to defer this motion to the next City Council meeting. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith.
Pandemic Mayor Awa, for item PD 25-14, I move as per the report.
Moved by Deputy Mayor. Is there a seconder? Councillor Natak seconds. Comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Motion carried. I believe there were only 2 minutes. And we will go into an in-camera session. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilley to go in camera. All those in favor?
5 minutes.
We will take 5 minutes.
Peter.
Yeah, we're gonna make man up 30 minutes of time.
Thank you. We are back to our meeting.
I think I should bring up.
There are three items that we have to make a motion with regarding long-term water project. Deputy Mayor Smith.
For the long-term water project, I move to approve Arcadis Canada Incorporated to complete phase three, phase four, and phase five for the amount of $4,194,190.77 plus GST, and to approve a contingency allowance of $209,709.54 plus GST at the city's sole discretion to be utilized under the Arcadis Canada Incorporated contract as contingency events arise.
Seconded by Councillor Tilley. Comments or questions to the motion? I see none. Those in favor? All in favor. Carried. Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Awa, I move to approve Arcadis Canada Incorporated change order to complete the design for a new permanent Apex River intake, pumping station, and conveyance system to Lake Geraldine, and a new reservoir for $1,957,197.06 plus GST, and to approve a contingency allowance of $97,859.85 plus GST at the city's sole discretion to be utilized under the Arcadis Canada Incorporated contract as contingency events arise.
Seconded by Councillor Aluka. Questions or comments to the motions? Those in his favor? All in favor? Eric, thank you.
Smith.
Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Awa, I move to change the delivery model for the long-term water supply and storage project from design bid build to construction management at risk with the guaranteed maximum price option.
Seconded by Councillor Tilley. Comments or questions to the motion? I see none. Those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. Deputy Mayor Smith, adjournment. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith. Seconded by Councillor Tilley. Those in favor? All in favor. Thank you to the interpreters that helped us tonight. Have a good evening, everyone. Let's go watch hockey.